This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, August 14, 2020, the Vigil Mass of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it.
The words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
That passage comes up very frequently in feast days of our Blessed Mother. I always point out, whenever it comes up, that contrary to what your Protestant friends may tell you, this is not a time when Jesus in some way belittles his mother or tries to present her as anything less than how we venerate her. He's actually extolling one of the virtues that the woman from the crowd is missing. She is focused on the biological fact that the Blessed Virgin Mary is blessed because she was Jesus' mother. Jesus takes it to another level and answers, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those rather not just physically know me, but those who keep faith with me and in me. This is Jesus' words here. He is again extolling our Blessed Mother, not in any way belittling what the woman in the crowd has said. What he's talking about is faith. Faith is something that is nurtured. Faith is something that grows. We have to appreciate that aspect of our faith. The dogma of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Lord presents things to us, and the presentation is ongoing. For instance, in the Old Testament, we have a bunch of shadowy pictures of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah that's going to come. We have a bunch of shadowy pictures of the Holy Spirit and what he's going to mean to us and how he's going to. And then as things progress, as time goes on, we solidify. Scripture solidifies what we understand. It's very specific in the New Testament about the mission of the Holy Spirit. Very, very specific on who the Messiah was, what he did to gain our salvation. These are things that we have to understand are even scripturally this idea of growth. Well, this doesn't stop with the canon of Scripture being closed at the end of Revelation. God is going to continue to nurture our faith, and through the Holy Spirit and his work in the church, we're going to see things progress. We're going to see things honed, polished, presented in more detail. These are the dogma that we have that have come on later in the church. And we shouldn't be surprised at that because we should appreciate, I mean, you know, again, some of your friends who are outside the Catholic Church who do know the Scriptures, well, you know, they believe in the Trinity, for instance. The word's not in the Scriptures. We never once have the word Trinity in Scripture, but everybody believes that. What is a Trinity? It is a word that we use for a concept that is presented in Scripture. We have honed it down. The Holy Spirit, working through early church fathers, has presented us that word that everybody accepts. So why shun other things that the Holy Spirit has done throughout time to hone our understanding of things? Whenever we hear of a dogma of the church, there is a tremendous difference between dogma of the church and things that are what are referred to theologically as pious beliefs. Okay? I actually read a commentary this morning, and I was looking through it, and I wonder if he says anything about the Assumption. It was written way before the dogma, and it did. I looked at the back, there, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, several times throughout the book. And he actually made mention of it. You know, he points out, we have dogmas of the church, the Trinity. We have the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother as a dogma. He said, and in our day, it's not like a pious opinion, like the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin. It's like, yeah. But even when it was just a pious opinion, the church everywhere venerated the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mother. It was not considered a dogma of the church until it was declared as such. Dogma are not, I've actually messed up before and used the word promulgated. Dogma are not promulgated. Dogma are declared by the church. There's a big difference. A promulgation is something we put, humanae vitae. It was promulgated by the church. It was put together to answer a question. A declaration of a truth of the Catholic faith is just the authority of the church saying, when there's questions asked or if it's gone on for so long, they say, you know what, we're declaring that to be a dogma of the Catholic. That's what has happened throughout history. And we embrace this in faith, just like we embrace the Trinity, concepts that we don't understand, can't explain, don't know all the cognitive facts about, but we accept them anyway, the Trinity. The Assumption should be no different. Where is that in Scripture? Nowhere. Just like Trinity is nowhere. But just like the Trinity, it's alluded to everywhere. For instance, how God deals with bodies on occasion. It's a rare occasion, but there have been others who were assumed into heaven. Genesis, the earliest book of the Bible, Enoch was assumed into heaven. Everybody else, and this person this, and he died, and this person this, and he died, and this person this, and he died. When it comes to Enoch, and he was taken up into heaven, and then after him, and this person died, and this person died. So Enoch was assumed into heaven. Okay? Ezekiel, the prophet, the chariot comes down, takes him up into heaven. That's an assumption. He was assumed into heaven, his body. Okay? So if this has happened, and there's also the question of Moses, okay? If nothing else, we're not saying Moses was assumed, but God, there was a interesting thing going on with Moses' body, obviously, that we know from Scripture. For one thing, it says that the Lord buried him. It specifically says that. The Lord buried him. And then we have in the book of Jude where we know that there was a conflict between St. Michael the Archangel and Satan over the body of Moses. So God takes a special, and there's all kind of conjecture as to why this happened and everything. I'm not going to get into that. But we just see from that incident that God takes a special interest in some's bodies. Okay? So, you know, getting back to Enoch and Ezekiel, if they could be assumed into heaven, and we know, for we don't know a whole lot about Enoch, but we know that Ezekiel had some, you know, he was just like everybody else. You know, he had some frailties. He was assumed into heaven. Our Blessed Mother wouldn't deserve that? Well, God could, you know, why would he ever do that? He doesn't do things like that. Yes, he has done it in the past for people who are a lot less worthy than his mother. And not to mention the historical facts that we know that no one has ever claimed a relic of the Blessed Virgin Mary. No one. Eastern Church, Islam, Western Church, no one has claimed a relic of the Blessed Virgin. If you could claim a relic, and many are claimed, you would think that that would be a biggie, and no one has even ever claimed it. It's not even a debate. Well, we thought they may have, and they, no, there is no relic, there is no grave. Why? Because you assumed into heaven. That's why. He's done it before for a whole lot less worthy people, and he did it for his Blessed Mother. This is faith. This is how we grow personally in our faith. To understand more, to embrace more fully the understanding that we don't know everything right off the bat. Our faith is not stagnant. You don't get baptized and confirmed and, oh, I'm good, and move on. You should always be, as our Lord demands of us, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't change what you believe, you just understand more of it. This place, there's a lot of Protestant converts in this parish, a lot of Protestant converts. You know, it's kind of interesting, and I don't get into all the debates as to if you were, if you weren't, and all this kind of stuff, but the bottom line of the whole deal is the fact that They grew in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and embraced the Catholic Church in the fullness of the faith that is found in her. Okay, that's the bottom line. That's the end of the story. They grew in faith. They had more faith. They had faith that increased to believe not just what the letter says in Scripture, but what the church has always believed about the letter of Scripture and how she has progressed in her understanding of the Scriptures, never changing them, but understanding them better. This is like a child. That you have a child and born into a very pious family. That child is baptized into the faith. They are taught the rudimentary facts of the faith. And as they grow, guess what? They're confirmed. Some of them go on to receive the sacrament of matrimony. Some receive the sacrament of holy orders. They progress in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They progress in faith. Your faith doesn't change. That happens when you become a Muslim or you revert back to Judaism. That's a change in belief. But to be a Catholic as a child, you believe some very rudimentary things about the faith and really no more. But as you grow, you know and understand more. This is everybody. This is our faith. As I said, it's not a stagnant thing. It is growing. When it becomes stagnant, if you come in my office and you talk, tell me, I'm about the same kind of Catholic as I was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. We got some work to do because it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. You grow in the grace and knowledge of God. It is a demand on our lives in faith to embrace these things. And so when you get people that criticize things like this, know what your faith teaches. Know why it teaches the things that it does. You know, you don't have to be able to pass a theological test, but you do have to understand why and what your faith believes. Because if you don't, then you look kind of silly when people who think they know something confront you with this, that, or the other thing, and you can't explain to them why they should grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The dogma, the assumption, and the fact that you are here this evening speaks volumes about where you are in your faith. Yeah, it's just not a matter of, well, you know, I'm just supposed to be here today. Well, you know what? Today you're not even supposed to be here, or I should say obligated to be here. You're here because you want to be, because you venerate the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she was assumed into heaven. Because we can explain it away or prove it empirically, scientifically. No, we're here because we believe it in faith. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.